Hey, Dave here from the Breakfast with Manny podcast, which comes from when my co-host Emmanuel, also known as Manny, and I used to meet regularly for breakfast. When we were discussing the shifting landscape of manhood, mostly by sharing our experiences and our struggles, as well as my coaching courses and my entrepreneurial experience, we realized many men could benefit from discussing these topics. So Breakfast with Manny is going to explore the unseen patterns that sabotage men from realizing their potential, healing, and getting the life, sex, career, and health they want, leading to a healthy masculine life.
Welcome to Breakfast with Manny. I'm the host, Dave Rosenberg. I'm here with my co-host, Emmanuel Mancia, otherwise known as Manny, obviously. Hey, Manny.
Super bad. Happy to be here, David. I'm excited for our guest today.
Awesome. So am I. So like this is a new level for our podcast. We have our first international guest. We have our first TEDx speaker guest. So Nana's here. Nana Ponce-Leon is here. Hey, Nana, how are you?
Hi, everyone. Hi, David. Hi, Manny. Good to be here.
Anybody who brings a smile like that, we're good. So Nana is many things, and it's probably going to come out during the podcast, but actress, coach, and as I said, huge congratulations. You're on your recent TEDx talk, and I think somehow I was able to be the first person to maybe see it close to that. So that was fun. Thank you.
Well, you can take the maybe out because you were.
Was I it?
Oh. You were it.
You know how to make a man feel special. Yeah. Thank you. It's amazing. So huge congrats. And I wanted to say, I guess, you know, Nana, we met and connected quite well at a Tony Robbins event, probably, gosh, 8-9 years ago now. I never would have thought we would have converged in a similar place. When I followed you on LinkedIn, I was starting to see what you were up to. I had a dream of maybe raising some issues around masculinity and what's going on with men today. And I saw, oh my God, here's this person that I know who's so energetic, so cool, who's doing the same thing with women. And so I reached out with a little trepidation going, she's not even going to remember who I am. Luckily you did. Thank God. So that was good.
You're memorable.
Thank you. Thank you. I try. And I discovered that I just thought this is such a great forum to have a discussion. We've been working through some issues and some subjects around masculine and feminine energetics. To now have you come in here and talk about what you're up to, we're super happy to have you. And I guess I'll just turn it over to you for maybe just a brief introduction to like what you're up to, where you're headed, what you're doing, and what do people need to know about what's going on with you. So over to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. For me, well, I mean, taking a little time off after the hectic preparation and delivery of the TED. After the TED, I had 2 speaking engagements in New York. And that brought me to New York to speak to entrepreneurs, which was interesting because it was the first time that I spoke about this on a business platform. Though that is my background, as well, you probably know, yeah. My years in corporate before becoming an actress were in Microsoft. So I worked for Microsoft for over 12 years in sales and marketing. And before that, other corporations as well. And being in an entrepreneur event, one was an entrepreneur event and the other one was a private speaking engagement in the company. It felt like both my worlds were connecting for the first time.
Nice.
So that was interesting.
Mm. So tell us about this. So you mentioned, you mentioned talking about this. Tell our audience like, all right, what's this? What are you talking about?
I'm going to say, even though, of course, I have a TEDx now, it's still a dream.
Okay.
And my dream is to create a world, and I'm going to say which one is my vision, because it's going to great segue to answering your question. My vision is to create a world where men and women collaborate, cooperate, and co-create their shared world together. That's the vision of this whole project. And this is coming to terms with your feminine. If you're a woman today, living mostly in your masculine, because the work environment and society today pushes us that way. And I know we're going to dive deeper into that subject later. Mm-hmm. So this became a healing process for me.
Nice.
Something that I needed to do for myself. And when it worked and it was successful, I said, I have to share this. Women have to know how this feels because it feels great, which I still get scared of sometimes, I have to admit. It is very scary to go your feminine and be vulnerable and just dive into it. It is scary. It is scary, not only for women, for any person. You know, yeah. Vulnerability is one of those traits that is very hard to embrace and to live. So that personal journey transformed into this.
I love this.
This vision, what I'm sharing.
Awesome. So before we dive in, because you already gave me a lot of fodder I can't wait to dive into this with you. It's going to be amazing. But Manny, I know you had a couple of questions for us to get to know Nana a bit better. So
I think we're going to get full into the subject. That looks already super interesting because Nana just spoke about a vision and I'm very curious about your perspective on how things are right now. But I was wondering also, because Nana, I read your bio, very interesting bio. Of you as a child and that life between Baton Rouge and Venezuela. And I was wondering today, how close are you to your roots, to your Venezuelan roots?
I have to say, I love the way you said Baton Rouge.
You're in French.
The French in you had to come out. I love French, by the way. That's that, you know, I know very little. I studied in college and it's the third language that I want to learn. So my roots in Baton Rouge were because my dad studied there. He went to LSU to study. And I was 1 year old at the time, went back to Venezuela when I was 7. And from 7 all the way to 19, I was in Venezuela. And then I came back to the US to go to college. So I've been back and forth all my life. And I can almost say that we're approaching the maybe 50-50 in terms of length of time there and length of time here. However, as much as an American as I feel, and my mom always says that, you know, my heart is divided. You know, I'm very American. But my Latin roots and my Venezuelan roots are very deep. They run deep, deep, deep. And they show up in the way I eat and they show up in the way I act in this Latina, you know, I can't get rid of the Latina. And it just trickles down every aspect of my life. So it's very, very present.
Very present today. And I suppose you have family that are in Venezuela still today? Yeah,
I do. I actually, my mom is there. I have aunts and cousins, and I have my two daughters are also in Venezuela because when they became women and could decide where to live, they wanted to go back. They went with me to New York when they were teenagers, and it was really hard, super hard on them. They hated New York. Did not like it at all. So when my husband or my ex-husband and I decided to divorce, which was after the events and the things we talk about.
Yeah.
Yes. Both girls said, Ma, you know, it's like, yeah, we can do away with New York. And they went back to Venezuela. So they're there too.
And you growing as a woman in the States and in Venezuela, was it a completely different thing?
Oh, yes.
I'm sure.
I'm sorry I interrupted you, but yes, it is very different. It's funny because it's now that I'm on this journey of the feminine, the masculine, and this project that I have, it becomes even bigger, the difference. Because dating in America and the way men and women start relationships in America is radically different than the way we do it in Latin America. So
yeah, how do you do it in Latin America?
Well, I mean, of course, I'm an older woman, so I don't know how kids are doing it today.
Right.
And I understand things have changed. But for example, I grew up not even knowing what the word dating means. Like, we don't use, we don't say, we go out on a date. You know, people just would ask you out.
Yeah.
You would meet someone and they would invite you to dinner or to the movies or to walk in the park. And that was it. What was this? That was a dinner. That was a walk in the park. That was a outing to a movie. But it didn't have a label of dating, which in my opinion puts so much pressure on the woman and on men, right?
Yeah.
And then how it went was there may be a second dinner or there may be another outing or not. And if there is a third and a fourth and a fifth, and then you're out for a month or two, and you know, you're more intimate, then you are a couple and you become boyfriend, girlfriend, and that's it. You know, it's a bit more organic instead of so much like a manual. You do this first, then you do that second, and then you do the other thing. Like, to me, that is so foreign and so uncomfortable, actually.
So I must be part Latin because I much prefer the organic way, because my travails dating have been part of the podcast. There's some interesting things, but it's very transactional and it's very listy, right? It's like, I feel like when you meet in North America, a lot of dates are exclusion dates. They're like, okay, do you like this? Okay, do you like that? Like, people are looking for a reason to get it over with. They're like, I'm trying to find a way you don't fit, you know? And it's very odd. It's not organic at all. So anyway,
So I don't know if that answers your question in terms of the difference, but
it does.
Yeah, it's so different.
Very cool. Manny, I got a ton of questions. You got another one first before I go, or we're good?
What Nana said about sharing her vision. And then I'm very curious about the now, just before we jump in, Nana, what is the now you see today that maybe created you to have that vision on what you'd like the world to be in terms of that collaboration between men and women?
What is the now?
What do you see right now in the world that makes you see that vision, that ideal vision of collaboration?
I see a non-collaboration. I see a fight. Mm-hmm. I see a competition.
Yeah.
I see distancing instead of closeness. I see separation. Do I go on?
Nope.
Sounds very great.
Nana, you know what's funny though? Like, I put an extra question at the end that occurred to me at the last minute. I'm like, I really got to ask, how can we have men and women come together and not be oppositional? So you ruined the ending. I'm joking, but
no, we're going to get there.
We're going to get there.
Right, yeah, because I just said what I feel the now is in terms of my vision. And thank you for that question, Manny, because the I think I never articulated it like this before. So thank you for that.
But you know, you're right. Like, we're not connecting. We're not coming together. We're not respecting each other's opinions. We're not even listening. There's no vulnerability. There's no connection. It feels like we are at odds. So I want to start with this. So could you describe, again, as being a woman who was consciously now understand she was in her masculine, that was somewhat programmed into her or was, you know, pushed on her culturally or societally. But what were you like when you were in your masculine? Like, what was life like for you? How did you feel? What was going on? What was up?
I love that question. Because I'll explain at the end why.
Yeah, cool.
You know, I love the question, but how was I? In many ways, I was the same in the sense that I've always been social. I've always been open. I've always liked to connect with people. I've always liked that. I have always enjoyed a fun time dancing. I've always liked that. But I was very much a tomboy. Like I say in my TEDx, I would fix cars.
Yeah.
My dad got me And that was not the Mustang that I describe on the TEDx. This is the car before. He got me a 1959 Mercedes convertible, two seats, mint condition. And he said, this car is probably going to break down sometime, so you have to learn how to fix it. So I would change the sparks and I would change the cables and I would get under the hood. And if something went wrong, I would go to the mechanic and say, you know, I think this is what's happening. They would look at me like, what is she talking
about? Nana, you know, Manny doesn't know what a spark is, by the way. Manny, I'm old enough. Spark plug, bud.
Yeah, a spark plug. Yes. Yes. Oh, my.
Sorry, Manny, we can't hear you right now. There's a bit of a technical glitch, but we're going to keep rolling. So all good. All good. Cool.
So that Nana was fun. She was fun. And I had tons of fun. I loved my masculine. I enjoyed it very much. That competitiveness, that go-getter, you know, solving stuff and knowing how to solve things that my girlfriends didn't. Oh, that made me so proud. That was ego. That was pure ego.
But you're allowed to have. You're allowed.
Yes. I want to control it more today. Not control it. Just let it be on the side. You know, you can sit there. But those days were like, oh my God, this is great. You know, I can be with the girls. I can do the girly things. To a certain extent, because I wasn't too much into many of the girly things for obvious reasons, but, but I could do the masculine, right? I would be the one sitting with the boys in the party or at the party. Yeah. I would be the lady with the guys when I was working in corporate. That's where I had most of my fun.
Okay.
You know, I would sit with the guys because I could talk cars. I could talk sports. I could, you know, whatever. And I have fun with that. But the problem came when the personal relationship, because that's all good, great, if you're just in a certain environment doing certain things. But when you go into a personal relationship with another human being, that in my case was a man, because this could be a woman or a man, but, you know, a man, then me staying there, fixing everything, talking cars, solving, not needing any help, blah, 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 became a problem.
Gotcha.
But
what were the, Nana, if I can ask you there, what were some of the first things that you saw problem, like type of problems that arised from there? Was it in terms of the communication, in terms of the roles themselves? Like, what did you see there?
Huh. Very interesting. There were many things, but I am going to say probably one of the most negative and pervasive was competing.
Yeah.
I was constantly competing with men because I could almost do anything that you guys could do. Almost. Yeah. I say almost because, of course, you guys are stronger, though I lifted weights. I did kickboxing. Yeah. So, you know.
It's very threatening, by the way, for us male, our little male egos, by the way, when having a woman that forceful and powerful. So I'd be interested to hear a bit about the partners you were able to attract or you were with or your ex-husband. Like, how did that all work, given you were so, it takes either an extremely powerful and confident man or a softer, more feminine man. I don't know which way you went, but yeah.
I went always. Like, I'm not that I had gazillion partners because I didn't, but I dated or I went out with strong men.
Okay, cool.
Then it was inevitable for me to go to my feminine. Inevitable if I didn't want to collide.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Those relationships didn't last long. I ran. I was the one running. I'm like, oh no. Well, you know, there was always a reason why it couldn't work out.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
And of course, because my masculine was trying to come out and somebody was not allowing it and I couldn't compete at the same. And with my ex-husband, and I will share as much as I feel comfortable sharing.
Of course.
He had, and this is my opinion, it would be interesting to talk to him. He had to go to his feminine more in order to avoid conflict with me.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I always say responsibility is a fabulous word. So fabulous. Because, oh my God, if we would be responsible for everything we do, it's like so many problems would be solved, right? So it's such a power. And I'm going to take responsibility for me, for what I did.
Yeah.
And I always say it takes two to tango. Of course, it's the saying, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
Now, I know that he had to go to his feminine if he wanted to stay with me.
Yep, for sure. Yep.
Or if he wanted to avoid war.
See, I chose war sometimes with my ex-wife, but I take full responsibility. I've said it on a previous podcast, like my ex-wife, and we're very good friends now. And like, we got over it. We were both less conscious. I can safely say, but when I kind of took the victim role of like, oh, she's so mean and harsh, it got worse. And I need to take responsibility for I just thought of this. The word responsibility has the word response in it. Response.
It is beautiful because it responds.
An ability.
It's the ability to respond.
Yeah. Yeah. But I did notice.
It's 100% on us.
It is. But my behavior resulted in, I triggered and I kind of was causal in a bunch of, I did think it led to a lot of anger on her part, a lot of harshness, a lot of hardness, a lot of need for control. And, you know, as you know, that's all in the not so great masculine quadrants, but it's really interesting how these things go. So let me ask you a question though. So now that you've embraced your feminine more and you're about, let's say, more balanced, how is your life different? How are things different for you? Other than your obvious radiance, but you know, what else is going on? Yeah.
There is peace.
Okay.
There's more calm. The things that stress me out, usually, you know, they have to do more with my surroundings, with, I don't know, financial work it's not an internal battle so much, right? And let me take this.
Yeah, sure. No worries.
WhatsApp is on my computer, so.
Yeah, no worries.
I make bangs. Okay. So how it's different for me now is I allow things to happen. I can sit back and just take a moment, pause, become aware. Awareness is huge for my feminine. And it's something that I teach to all the ladies that come to my workshop and that I coach. That word for me and responsibility is like I'm hammering that word every day. It's awareness, awareness, awareness. Because there is no feminine without awareness. Like you, the only way you can live in that vulnerable place is becoming aware. You know, what is scaring me? And I'm allowing myself to be in that place much more.
Cool. Nice.
And definitely with men, it is totally different.
I can imagine. Yeah. How so?
Well, I think I feel safer and they do too. And this doesn't have to be intimate.
No.
Because it could be friends, it's anything. Because when women are combative with men, they're combative, period. Yeah. It could be your partner, it could be your brother, your father. You're just boom, 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 right? So I'm talking men in general, not only partner. the relationship is easier. I do get triggered sometimes. I have to admit, I do get triggered sometimes. And when I get triggered, I go like, okay, Nana, careful. What's up with this? Why are you wanting to compete? Mm. Why are you wanting to not be vulnerable and guard yourself? What's going up? What's going on? So it happens. It still happens, but it happens less. It's not as frequent. And I am much more aware of myself.
Nice.
Emotionally and physically.
Cool. Question for you. Another question though. What's your take on what women have been kind of sold and told? Like the whole story around, you know, that sort of powerful, independent, don't need a man sort of stuff. What's your take on all that?
That's a super huge topic, and it's so interesting because it just makes everybody so
yeah.
Men and women.
Yeah.
Okay, what did we buy? We bought, and I'm going to speak for myself and the ladies that I have spoken and that are on this journey with me too, and people that I've learned from that also speak about this. We bought into the notion that equality of rights was equal to being the same and wow. to needing wow. to be the same.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So 1960, when we had the famous female revolution, which was not the first one, by the way, we all call it the first. The first one was in 1892.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Most people don't know that, you know, there was a female revolution back then, and that one is the second wave. And now we're into the fourth, going into fifth, I'm guessing with everything that's happening. But they've been waves, right? So this second wave of the 1960s came with industrialization of the world.
Right.
Yep. Right. Now we have machinery. Now we have equipment. Now we have technology that we all can use. For the first time, women can begin to do similar things that men are doing. So technology, and some women are going to hate me for saying this, the female revolution, and this is my opinion, and I've read a little bit about some people agree with this, others don't. The female revolution was possible in 1960 because of technology, not because of the fight of women. If we wouldn't have had technology to help us be able to do the same work that men did, it would have gotten delayed. I'm not saying that it wouldn't have happened. I'm just saying technology allowed us to now begin to work in kind of the same jobs, do the same tasks.
Yeah.
Because now women can drive a truck and they can lift a, you know, you can build a whole skyscraper with women, you know, because everything is machinery. You're not carrying bricks and things. So the technology has allowed us to do the same kind of work. But we confuse that with becoming the same.
I could cry right now because nobody's ever said it that way to me. And I've been trying to say this for quite some time. And the way I always say it is just sort of like, it seems to me like you're there's a desire to sort of almost copy men. And I'm like, why would you copy us? Like we've got some problems that we're working out here. You know what I mean? Like, and we've lost, like I've asked many women this question, what are strong feminine characteristics? And they always say the same thing. Powerful, independent, moving forward in my career, which are traditional masculine energetics, not men masculine. But you know what I mean? So I think I love the way you said that. The mistake is, and there's a neutering that's gone on where when you blend those together, you lose polarity, as you know, and then relationships really struggle. So I think one thing I can say safely, I believe this in my heart, every single one of us, and most people hopefully that are listening, everyone's for equality at work. Everyone's for women to have every chance to do everything. But that's different than being a strong feminine woman versus, you know, trying to be more like a man. And I agree with you. I've met some women in my career. I've been in corporate life too, that are combative is a great word for it. And I've met women that have such ease with being both, with being like, look, of course I'm a strong woman, like, but I'm still a woman in certain other ways. And they've done that. So I love the way you said that. That just, it's such a great way to say it. The mistake is towards being the same, which is not really, why would we do that? Yeah.
It is not. And I'm going to explain real quick something that I explain in my workshops. And I start usually there because we learn through theory first, or our mind. Sure. And then, you know, I make them feel it in their body. But I always explain that there are three different things that we are kind of pushing them all together, right? We're just squeezing them as equal, which is biology, our gender, obvious, right? This is just plain biology. I'm in the body of a woman, you're in the body of a man. And of course, that today raises a whole, you know, there are people, and this is true. I mean, it is true. There are people who biologically have challenges. You have, you know, on the outside, you look like a woman. On the inside, you have organs. But those are the exception. They are so exceptional, right? So that's not the norm. In general, our biology is female, male. Then we have roles. The role that we play as a human is what we do.
Right?
I'm an actress. That's a role. I'm a mom. That's another role. I am a friend. That's another role. Those are things we do. The relationships we have create, you know, our interaction with that person. We tend to squeeze those two as the same, right? So the role of the woman in the 1960s was to stay home before the female revolution. That was the role. So the, now the new role is she can work, but she can also be a mom. She still is a woman. There is still a biology there. And then there's a separate thing, which is the energies. The yin and the yang. Right? That is feminine, masculine. We call it feminine, masculine. Yin and yang is better because it doesn't raise any eyebrows. So we all have that yin and yang. But they're all different things. And when we talk, trying to explain this, we talk as if they're all the freaking same thing. And they're not.
True.
Really. I love it. And I love this. I was wondering what would you say are the feminine energies or traits that today women or those who live on that feminine side tend to try to avoid, or that we try to, I would say, not put the valor that they should today have? Do you have some traits there that you see we're trying to, you know, get away from that we definitely shouldn't?
Well, let me start. Let me back up a little bit. And just for those who may not know everything that we're talking about, and because I sometimes assume people know what what I mean by feminine masculine energy. Feminine energy is our vulnerable side when we're creating, when we're in the creative mode. Wisdom lives in the feminine, not knowledge. Wisdom is that knowing that goes beyond what you know intellectually. The knowing lives in the masculine. Then you have the feminine has receptivity. Receiving is in the feminine. Love.
Connection.
Yes. All that lives in the feminine. Then the masculine, and I heard you say this in your podcast too, is focus, single focus, because the feminine has focus, but is dispersed focus. The masculine is single focus. Productivity. Solving problems, going after goals, achieving, finding utility in things. Like when you see something for its utility, you're looking at it from the masculine perspective. When you're looking at it from the beauty, then you're looking at it from the feminine. And here is where I love it when my ladies in the workshops go like, oh, wow. It's like you can do the same thing, same exact thing. And the example I always use is the coffee, and it could be anything. You know, you drink your coffee in the morning and you're rushed. You need to wake up. You need that caffeine boost because you're, you know, you're going to work. So you drink it with your masculine. There's a result in mind, which is waking up. Yep. And you just need that boost of caffeine. That's you're drinking your coffee with your masculine. But then if you sit down, you grab your book, you look at the sky, you see the sunrise, and you smell that coffee, you're drinking it with the feminine. Same activity. Yep. Same activity. And this goes for everything in life. So when people challenge me that, oh, you can't use the feminine here, or you can't use the math. No, you can do both. No, I mean, I'm yet to come with an activity where cannot be done with either one or the other. So those are the definitions of the masculine and the feminine. Now, which ones are women avoiding today the most? I'm going to have to say receiving. The first.
Yep.
We are absolutely closed to receiving, especially from men.
Yep. Yep.
Because we're at war, we're competing, we're in head-on collision. The other day, and I was practicing my TEDx.
Yeah.
And I'm in a group, fabulous group, that helped me prepare. And I'm saying that line where I say, if you're safe, and that is very important, open yourself to receive anything, a compliment and this and that. And one of the ladies that was in listening, she said, I really have a hard time when you say that line. Every time you're rehearsing that and saying that, it just gives me the chills, but the bad chills. And I'm like, why? Because I don't like to receive a compliment from a man.
Right.
I feel they're, you know, they're using me somehow. It's like it's hard. Hmm. And I see that happening so much. Yet we go home and we fucking cry in a pillow.
Sure. You know what's funny?
We're sad and we're lonely.
I love that you get into that, because I'll tell you, as a man, I feel it's so awkward. It's so not received. I'm like, can I tell someone they look nice? Can I? I mean, I said you were radiant today. Like, somebody probably is going to write in and go, well, what a creep, or I don't know. Like, that's, I just don't think that's creepy. Like,
what an inappropriate comment to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're just talking about her looks and whatever, but like.
Yes, you are. And that's fine. But you said radiant.
Yes.
To me encompasses so much more.
It's than inner.
How you look on the outside.
Yeah, it's inner. Yeah. But, you know, I do have a really important question. And this is such a fascinating part of our podcast today. What I want to ask you is, where's the space, or how can we find space, or are men allowed to desire women anymore?
Oh.
Are we allowed? Spicy wow. Meatball, spicy meatball for you.
Can I take a break for that?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'll just add
yeah.
one more thing for Manny's to Manny's question
sure.
before
sure.
I move on. Vulnerability is another big one, Manny. Yeah. That's huge. And of course, you know, for men, vulnerability was non-existent before. Now, thank God, it's opening up and it's welcomed. And here is the funny thing. It's like we are telling men to become more vulnerable and open, and we are becoming less vulnerable and more closed. Yeah. I mean,
I can't believe you just said that. That's so accurate. It's so true. And the beauty of the feminine energy is an opening. But I will say this. This just occurred to me as you were speaking. I feel like we're in a bit of a vicious circle where women aren't open and can't open, but they don't trust a lot of men because, unfortunately, as we do know, let's be honest, a lot of men are at times are inappropriate and have made women feel unsafe. So we're ping-ponging in a negative ping-pong game, which is like, I don't trust you guys. Like, you've creeped me out a lot. And guys are like, you know, trying to be vulnerable, and we're coming up against a wall.
Can we touch that subject? Because that subject is so important, but I want to answer your other question.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
but sure. Let's go back. No, but we have to. That point is so important because it's the, and this is going to be, it's the excuse that we use a lot to close and to not be vulnerable.
100%.
And I say excuse with the utmost respect for every woman on the planet who has been abused or hurt,
100%. Right?
And when we touch that subject, we're going to dive deeper and I'm going to explain what I mean.
Okay.
But okay, so now I forgot the question.
I did too, actually. Manny, help me out, man. What did I ask her again? I said, oh my God, this is funny. I've also forgot. Do you remember, Manny?
I was so involved in that conversation and where it was going that I actually forgot your question.
It'll come back. It'll come back to me.
But it'll come back.
We'll figure it out.
Okay, so we can then dive into this.
Sorry, no, I got the question. Very important question. How and are men allowed to desire women anymore?
Thank you. Yes.
What the hell? Are we allowed? Because it doesn't feel like we are, you know, that's...
Are you, okay, I'm going to bounce it back before I reply. Sure. Are you allowed?
I have a lot of things going through my head. I have to laugh. I keep quoting this silly show on Netflix called Sex and Life. And this woman was freaking out. She's like, she had this perfect husband who was boring. He was a nice guy. She's like, I just want to feel desired, you know? So are we allowed? I want to say yes. And my answer is a cowardly no. I feel kind of no. And I think it's on men to have the courage to have discussions and open discussions. I'd love to have this discussion with a group of women. That's what I think I can do. I'd love to have a group of women and go, are we allowed to desire you anymore? And I'd love to see what they say. Because you said it, you go home, there is something there that you do want. The reason why people are in couple is because the yin and yang are working together and you're more than you could ever be alone. And sexual chemistry and sexual energy is a big part of that. But what do? We cut it. We just cut it. And, you know, I will tell you one funny story that I don't think you heard on the podcast I shared with you. One of our previous podcasts, I did mention, during our meeting, I met a very interesting young lady and we hit it off and it was awesome. Now this is years ago, so it was probably a little more okay, but I expressed my desire for her, let's say that, when she came, very much so. I'm like, come here. Ugh. And she loved it. She said, all the guys my age, and she was more in her 30s and I was more in my late 40s. She said, all the guys my age, they just wait for me to kiss them. They just wait for me to do things. And, you know, we've got what I call in a previous podcast episode, the hesitant male. And hesitant men aren't that attractive, to be honest. So I still think there are men that do it, of course. And I think probably a little more me being sensitive than and not courageous enough to express it. But you want to express it in a way that's not unwelcomed and not creepy. And my joke is read the room, right? You don't do it when there's not clear signals. Exactly. You know what I'm saying, right?
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And so we go back to responsibility.
Yeah.
That I like so much. And awareness, because they go hand in hand when it comes to this, right?
Yeah.
If a man is responsible and is aware of the signals, like you say, he's reading the room.
Yeah.
He knows whether he can move forward or not.
Yeah.
When you go animal instinct, then that's when you don't read the room.
Yeah.
That's when you do things that you shouldn't. Yeah. And by the time you find out you've already been slapped or pushed or whatever, saying, you know, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
Or men do bad things because they can't stop, right? So awareness and responsibility and respect are crucial. Now, if you ask me, are you guys allowed? To me, first starts with you guys wanting to be responsible for courting,
for
engaging with women
in
a way that is satisfying, that it's beautiful, that it's nurturing, that it's enhancing of a relationship instead of negative for the relationship. And if you do that, and the woman is not open for that, then that's not the relationship maybe that you want.
Yep,
now, from a woman's perspective, and here comes Nana's perspective.
Yeah.
Totally yes. Like, are you guys allowed to be a gentleman in the sense of the good old days where you would, you know, you would
say open the door,
things, open the door, tell somebody that they're radiant. And I have to say, I love it. Nana loves it.
Okay, cool.
Take it with open arms, and I embrace it, and it feels good. And any woman who says, and here's where I separate, severe trauma, of course, will not make that a pleasant experience. But I'm not talking about that. Whatever I'm talking about today is in normal ranges, in when we're not talking of extremes, right? Where there's severe trauma and severe problems that close you to close up, that cause you to close up. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm talking
relatively normal.
Relatively normal markers of behavior. In that place, I don't think if a woman is really honest, she can say, oh no, that I hate that. That's horrible. I don't like it. I don't need it. Come on. And if you really don't,